Talking about doing push-ups, running, all these different things. Here we're talking about strengthening our soul, and that means to examine one's conscience, to meditate, to contemplate, to pray vocally, all the things that you have already been doing. In the same way that if you don't engage in these physical exercises, you become weak, useless, vulnerable to the enemy. In that same way, if you don't engage in spiritual exercises, in spiritual reading, in prayer, in penance, you also become weak, you also become vulnerable, you also become useless, spiritually speaking. And so it is very important. The purpose then of these days is to engage in spiritual training, in spiritual warfare, in spiritual exercises. I'd like to begin by saying two things. The first one, I asked that you would have a notebook, and I hope you do. Bring it to the talks and take a lot of notes, because a lot of the things that I will be saying, I mean, I'll be giving a lot of information, but not everything will resonate with you. If you come here to hear good preaching, I fear to disappoint you. The work of the exercises is not on my side. I provide a help, a guidance, prompt, you could say. Most of the work is on your side. Most of the work is on you, on the part that you do on your own. And so that's why when you come to the talks, listen to what the priest says and hunt for those things that's what God wants me to pay attention to. Not everything will match you. There will be some things that you can say, I know that already, this is not a problem for me. But there will be here and there something that God will tell you, hey, this is the part that you need to focus. And so bring your notebook, take notes. Don't worry if you miss some things. Take notes of the things that matter to you. This particular, if you came here last year, you will know this. The last year was a bit different. There were more priests, and there were other activities. This year is only me, basically, giving the talks. And that will be maybe providential. The last year, many men, well, I don't know if many, a few at least, said, we would like that the next year Father comes and continues. Because the last year, the topics were very basic. We discussed hell, we discussed heaven, we discussed death, all those things that usually you discuss in a spiritual retreat. In this year, we will discuss the next step, the more advanced issues. Okay, how do I perfect myself? How do I become a true man of God? So the proper way to listen to these talks will be to listen first to the other ones. I should have said this before, I'm sorry. You can do it later. To listen first to the other ones, and then come and listen to these ones to complete it. But because of that, because of the fact that it's only me and that there will be less activities, it's going to be very intense on your mind and your soul. There will be a lot more meditation. There will be a lot more reflection, a lot more time for you. I would like to say one quick thing here. Make it at your own pace. Do your own thing. If you find yourself tired, exhausted, mentally exhausted, go and take a nap, then get back on. But be aware of the fact that these spiritual exercises are going to be much more intense. I don't want to... What's the word? This might sound very proud. It's my desire. I don't know if I'm able to, but it's my desire that you come to this retreat and you're able to change your life. I'm not interested in you coming out of here saying the talks were very good, very entertaining. I'm interested that you come out of here and you say something changed. Maybe not a huge revolution in your life, but something was different after that retreat. That means that the retreat was good. That's our purpose. But I think that most of us, well, I don't think so. Most of that obviously depends on the grace of God and you being faithful to that. For that reason, there is also something that is going to be different about this retreat. The last retreat, we did a lot of consulting with the priest. I would sit there, Father Philip would sit there, people would come and talk to us about this or that particular problem in their lives. That's good. This year I'm going to do something more challenging, perhaps very bold, I'm not sure. Around the end of the retreat, I'll give you a sheet where you will have to put the changes in your life, some of them demanding. And then we will have certain set times where you will have to present to the priest. Everyone will have to present to the priest, as much as I have power to bind, and actually report and say, this is how I'm changing my life. This is what I'm going to do. So there will be accounting. There will be a demand for action, you could say. That's not usual, I must say. If you leave without presenting yourself to the priest, I will never know. But at least that's in the program. So now let me go into the structure of the retreat. What distinguishes the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius from your regular spiritual retreat is that the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius have a structure, a very definite structure. There will be two means for you to reach that goal of changing your life. One is on the side of the spiritual exercises, the other is on your side. On the side of the spiritual exercises, the means are the structure that is given, and there is three points mainly that we need to seek for. The first one, our first stage, as in last year, is sorrow for sin. So from this moment on, let's say until tomorrow, as best as you can, we're going to strive to have the most sorrow for sin possible. To give you an idea of how this works, in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, for men, they expect you to cry at some point. Not everyone does. Not all men are equal, as much as the Constitution says otherwise. But they expect you to break down at least at some point. So don't worry, I'm not going to be examining you. But that is the first stage of our retreat, to try to find in yourself that breaking point to determine, to realize how bad our sins are and get to that point where you really feel it. And you really feel the need to change your life. That's stage number one. The second stage is election or a choice. Some of you might be choosing a vocation. Others of you might have chosen a vocation for many decades now. But the point of this retreat, and this is a question that you need to ask yourself right now, is what is this choice that I need to make? What is this thing that I haven't really decided to do yet? You know perhaps what it is that you need to do, but you haven't done it. And so that's the next stage. There is this thing that determines a change in my life, and I need to do it. And that's what it is, and get the strength to do it. That's the second stage. And the third stage is when you come to know Christ, when you come to realize all these things, now you confirm yourself in that choice, and you put it in practice, you put it in action. And that's why at the end of the retreat, we're going to have that sheet where you're going to put it in action. You're going to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And it will make you very embarrassed if in 1 month, 6 months, 8 months, you haven't done it. So three stages. On your part, there are some means that you have to put so that this is successful. This is successful. The first one is solitude. St. Ignatius says it with these words. He will profit inasmuch as he separates himself from all friends and acquaintances and from all earthly endeavors, even moving to a different house to dwell as secretly as he can. He's speaking of the men doing the exercises. This will have three advantages. The first one, just the fact that you are retreating yourself from the world for these 2 days and a half is a very pleasing thing to God. So you're already gaining. There is already great merit in what you're doing. The second one is that this solitude will allow you to gain focus, to focus on one thing that you need to change, something you would not be able to do in the world. As you know, you can try it, you just don't have that focus because there is no time, there is no leisure. And the third is that the more secluded that you are from the world, the better disposed you will be to receive the graces of God. The soul functions much like a stream of water. What happens when you have a stream of water? If it's closed, if it's in a narrow space, it gains a lot of power. Power enough to break through rocks. But if you let it open, then it becomes a pond and it stagnates. What we're doing here in the retreat is we're taking your soul, and instead of having it open, we're putting it in a narrow place so that it has all that power to break through that rock that is hindering in your life. So solitude is one, silence is the other. You've heard of that already. We need to keep the silence very strictly, not only exteriorly but interiorly. And I would say this, it would be very silly from us, many of you have flown from far away, it would be very silly if you fly from all that distance and you don't do the retreat well and you waste your time and your money. So keep that silence, but also the silence interiorly. And what I mean by that is when the thought comes, who's going to play in the Super Bowl? What is my wife going to say about buying this or selling that? Forget about all those things. Forget about all the world. Imagine that you're dead to the world. And just think, during these few days, think of what is necessary for your salvation alone. Nothing more than that. Silence. Those are negative means. There is also positive means that we need to put in place. And the first one that I would mention is this, to be very diligent in doing every part of the exercises faithfully. Some of this, I assure you, you will probably not like. There will be parts, for example, where you have to meditate, you have to do mental prayer, and you will be wanting to do something else. Make your effort, your very effort, to do every part of the retreat as faithfully, as devoutly as possible. Rodriguez tells us in his book of the search for perfection, you have come away from all friends and family, away from all earthly concerns, to better serve and praise the Lord your God. I will tell you, O man, what is good and what the Lord demands from you. Go about carefully in the presence of God. Do not be inconsequent. Do not fall from your first fervor. You have done the more in coming here to the retreat. Don't omit the least, but faithfully do the practice of everything. Throughout the retreat, as I said, there is these three stages, and so you are expected to have certain motions in your soul. If you are not experiencing those motions, if there is nothing going on, you don't feel that desire to go towards God or that violence to get away from the world, if you don't experience any motion in your soul, that means that something is not being wrong. That means that you're not doing things carefully. You're missing out on the meditations. You're not paying attention to the talks. Something is missing. So find those motions. So positive means one is diligence. The other one is generosity with God. This is very important. St. Ignatius says of that person that comes to the retreat, to him who comes to the exercises, it befits that he comes in with great courage and generosity with God, his maker, offering to God from the very beginning all his will, all his liberty, so that the divine majesty will do with him and his possessions whatever his most holy will sees fit. This explains to a certain extent the militancy of the spiritual exercises. It's actually something very manly. Contrary to what many think, you don't come to the spiritual exercises to seek quiet, to seek silence, to relax from the world. You're coming here to engage in a furious war with your flesh, with the devil and the world, and it will lead you to a conflict. It's supposed to lead you to a conflict. You should suffer, and believe me if I say this, if you're doing them well, you should suffer fear, anxieties, sadness at times, conflict. That's what happens if a person does the retreat well. Because you will see something that you perhaps never wanted to give up, and now you see I have to give it up. You will see something that perhaps is a very tough practice that makes you very lazy about it. You realize now I must engage in it. You will see perhaps that you've wasted a lot of time in your life. Now you have to amend that. So there has to be that violence, that conflict in there. Of this, the scripture tells us, confortare et esto robustus, be comforted and remain strong. And even the spiritual masters, the Jesuits, they would tell to those coming to the exercises what they say in Deuteronomy, if there is anyone who is afraid and timid, let him return home. St. Ignatius would say of the person doing the retreat, ingrediar totus, meaning enter fully, enter all of you, don't leave anything outside. All of yourself, all of your power, you come in, and your dispositions as you're coming to the retreat should be entirely from this moment till the last moment of the retreat. Here is what should be in your mind. Domine, quid me vis facere? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's all that you're asking. That's what you're here to do. You might not find these dispositions in you. Now is the time, tonight is the night, to stay up a little bit, maybe a few hours, to come during the night and pray to the Blessed Sacrament. I'm not sure if the door is open, or in your room, but to spend a few moments in intense prayer and saying to God, give me that disposition. I would encourage you also to do some form of physical penance. I'll tell you something, you might find it funny, maybe not. I was going to go and buy chains from Home Depot, and I was gonna cut them and give them to you, so that you could actually do physical penance, like real physical penance. It's not that hard. I didn't do it because the mount would probably get sued, or very bad stories would come out of this. But I tell you, because I encourage you to do it, that's going to be one of our talks. During the retreat, don't be shy, do some physical penance. That's something that is very useful as well. I want to conclude then by summarizing the things that we've discussed that are important. The retreat has two goals: to separate you from the world, to take away the hindrance, the spiritual hindrance that there is right now. That's one. And the second goal, so that you make a decision to change your life in whatever it is that you need to change your life. Those are the goals of the retreat. Three stages that we need to follow. The first one, sorrow for sin. The second one, an election, a choice. The third one, the confirmation of that choice, the resolve. The two means that you need to put, solitude, silence. The two positive means that you need to put, diligence in all the required exercises, and generosity. Be willing to give to God whatever he demands of you in these days, whatever it is. If it is giving away this girlfriend, that is an occasion of sin, she's gone. If it is giving away Netflix, or this streaming service, or that awesome season of that show that I love, away it is. If it is giving away this job where there is this woman seeking out to me, making me sin or risking that I sin, out the job goes if I can. Whatever God asks of you, be willing to give. Generosity. As we end with this, I'd just like to explain something else and we will be done with today's talk. I will have the conferences throughout the day, and then after the conferences, or before in some cases, there is some free time that was before the time that we would use for counseling. During that time, you will do a meditation on the three things that St. Ignatius would have. There were several, but these are three main exercises that St. Ignatius had. One is a meditation on the sins of the angels, and compare that to your sins. The other one is a meditation to get you to a point of indifference, being willing to do whatever God asks of you. And the third one is what they call the meditation of the two flags, where you see God against Satan. We discussed that in the last retreat. You will find those papers when you go out on the place where you had the Stations of the Cross. You have there the three papers. You can take them right now if you would like to study them and see what it's like. But I will tell you, at a certain point, I will tell you, okay, what follows right now is this meditation. You go and do it. You don't have to do it here. I'm sorry, I'm almost done. You don't have to do it here. Go to your room if you want. Walk if you want. I'll give you a little tip for men for meditation. It's difficult for us to meditate kneeling. Some can do it, others can't. But if you put it in practice one of these days, if you want to meditate of something about God, go somewhere, start walking, and talk to yourself as you're walking. You look like a crazy man in here, probably. But seriously, don't you do that when you're thinking of something regarding your business or something about your house? What do? You're walking around, you're thinking. You can do that also for religious things. So those papers, you can take them wherever you want. You can come here, you can go to your room, you can go out into the woods if you want. There you do your meditation, but do it well and try to elicit those goals that we have. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, but I hope that this explains the goal of our retreat. As of this moment, then, let's focus on that first stage, to be as sorry as we can for our sins. For that goal, we will actually go immediately into our night prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.